This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It's been a good week. Although, I have made a discovery this week. I'm not extraordinarily pleased with this discovery, but it's always nice to learn something new. We've had an interesting couple of days here. I think it was Tuesday night. It was either Tuesday night or Monday night. It was 61 degrees. And I looked at the hour by hour temperature stuff coming up. And I noticed that from that night until I think tomorrow, or Saturday, the temperature went from 61 degrees at night. It just started dropping. It dropped all the way through that night. It dropped all the way through the next day. It dropped all the way through that night to the place that we ended up at, 15, 17, somewhere in there. And then we had some precipitation with it. So yeah, it's just very exciting. Right now we're in the 20s. And it's amazing what a little few tires and, a little asphalt will do, because things are just slushy. I dropped into Walmart because I have a special presentation to do tomorrow. This will be fun. As the Tooth Fairy, I have a special presentation. I should say as a representative of Tooth Fairies International, I have a presentation to do tomorrow. So I got to go home and make a certificate and blah, 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 blah. But it's a little interesting right now because we haven't had a ton of precipitation, but probably an inch, two, something like that. Some of it's been sleet, some of it's been ice, some of it's been snow. There's just a wintry mix. That can get quite exciting because you're never really sure what you're hitting. And in the process of all of that, when was it? Tuesday? I think it was Tuesday. I was driving home, and I noticed I really didn't have any heat in my car. I'm like, oh, no. So then I thought, that's because maybe your coolant is low, because sometimes when your coolant gets low, it gets below the little sensor, and so you don't. So I thought, well, that's fine. I'll just put some coolant in the car. So put some coolant in the car. That was not it, apparently. So I'm going to have to get the car in the shop and find out why I don't have any heat. If it was going to be a time not to have any heat, this would actually be a pretty good time not to have any heat, because we are on the downside of winter here. It is the end of February. And of course, March is coming, and then things will get exciting in March. And so we'll be good. All is well. All is well. I still don't have book 16 landed, although I'm close. This is an interesting epilogue because there are a lot of pieces in play, a lot of things moving in this epilogue, and you have a lot of different characters in play and interactions between the characters, so I don't really feel like I have it landed yet, but I know where we're going, and I probably only have 2 or 3 more pages to go, but I want to bring it to the nice, at the end. So, it's an emotive scene. It has all the pieces that I need to make it emotional. But it's a matter of getting it written out and then tuning it. And this one has been a little bit more difficult to tune, simply because if you just look at the characters and look at the circumstances, there would be a lot of questions to resolve. And so
You have to resolve them in a way that is understandable and believable, but yet at the same time contributes well to the final emotional hook on the end. So, you know, that's been interesting, because when I kind of had the idea, you know, if you don't have any heat in your car, things start building up on your windshield. When I had the idea for this epilogue, it didn't occur to me that it was going to be as complex as this to get all the pieces moving in the right direction. And so once I started into it, I was like, oh yeah, you have to deal with that, and you have to deal with this, and you have to deal with that, and you have to, you know. And so that's, it's taken a little more thought than I was expecting, but that's okay, because I'm actually in good shape time-wise. This needs to be finished up by the end of February, which is this Monday coming up. It's 3 days away, but it's the weekend, so I'll think along a little bit on it tonight, and then maybe get back to my angel wings. I've been working on another costume. It's the foam padding costume. Last week was Random Acts of Kindness and Comfy Day, and I got tickled because I needed some foam, and so Walmart has 18 by 18 inch pieces of foam, 1 inch, 4 in a pack, and so I had picked some of those up, and I had them in my cart. I think it was on Saturday, I had them in my cart, and so I had a couple of different people at Walmart, a couple of the workers, kind of looked down to see that in my cart, and they said, oh, you have some foam in your cart. And I said, yes, I do. They said, would that be for a costume? I said, yes, it is. But I'm not talking about it. So I said, if and when I get this thing done and I'm actually here in the store in this costume, I said, I will say to you, this is what the foam was for. So, it'll be fun. It will be fun. Although that particular costume has gone through a couple of mutations, and I'm not sure I'm done yet. I had this one idea, and then the farther I got along, I was like, arr. And so, this is going to be crazy. this will be so fun. Anyways, okay. I heard, on a side note there, I was listening to Lex Fridman today, and who knows, I may do a podcast on some of that. He was talking to a woman who's been a journalist with the New York Times and specifically been doing stories on cybercrime and hackers and those things now for several years. Had a book, et cetera, et cetera. She was doing that. And Lex Fridman was talking about cybersecurity, and he referenced Elon Musk in that. I have never heard Elon Musk say this, but I think this is probably something Elon Musk would say. The basics are you have less concerns about security and about being found out, some deep, dark secret you have, if you just live your weirdness in life. if you just are the person you are all the time. So that there's no, you know, there's no difference between what you're presenting to the world and who you are at home. And I think that's great advice. You know, and if there is something that you feel you need to hide from the world, the question is, why? Is it something that needs to be removed from your life because it's destructive? Or is it something that just happens to be weird and you're afraid? Because if it just happens to be something that's weird and you're afraid, you know, you might find you might find that, in fact, people don't care, you know. And if you manifest those things in a way that is done to bring joy to people and to, you know, have moments with people, you might find that people actually enjoy you manifesting that weirdness. I had a little encounter. I had to stop by, I mentioned, stop by Walmart, get one thing for a little presentation I'm doing tomorrow. And one of the Walmart workers that I know fairly well, he was there. He always wears really good hats and, you know, things with lights on them that are lighting up and all that kind of stuff. And so I was standing there. Well, I had my hat on and I had my face mask on. And there's no way, you know, there's just no way people recognize me. Loud noise again. I'm trying to make it home without pulling my car off to the side, scraping my windshields. And so I kind of waited till I got up next beside him, and he kind of looked at me, doesn't recognize me. I say, "Hey, how are you today?" And he went, "Oh," he said, "I'm still not used to this." I said, "I know, it's weird. It's just weird." I said, "I'll be here tomorrow. I'll be here. I'll be in costume. You'll recognize me tomorrow." So, you know, the people at Walmart that I work with, they know I've got this little quirky side, and they know I'm a little crazy, but, you know, that's okay. So, if anyone would ever take pictures of me being at home in weird outfits and that kind of stuff and start, you know, would try to possibly blackmail me, I would just look at them and I say, "Yeah, you need to do your research, because I go to Walmart looking like this every week." So, you know, interesting ideas. Hey, I just hit a patch of road that has been cleared. I mean, it is cleared. Good job, guys. So anyways, that's all well. Everything's good with the writing. Everything's good with the costumes. Although I have had to take a little few detours on this latest one, but that's okay. That's all right. We'll get there. It's a matter of doing that thing where you're going a step at a time, and you're just sometimes feeling your way forward. And at some point, it's going to warm up. Maybe I'll get some heat in my car. So I had some notes that I prepared for today, but I'm getting so tired of talking about COVID. I'm so tired of talking about COVID, but it's just astonishing. I mean, we are really in the same situation that people were in with Trump derangement syndrome. And I really think some of what has caused people to fall into these just myopic, single-minded, binary thinking, ad hominem attack, you know, vitriol really starts back with Trump. I know Trump gets blamed for everything, but really, there was a lot of vitriol coming from certain quarters before Trump, but once Trump hit, it just caused people. I knew some people that were intelligent people. They were just consumed with hatred, just sheer out hatred for Trump. I mean, these are good Christian people. And man, and you wouldn't even have to bring it up. They would just launch into these attacks where they were just spitting disgust and calling him names and saying he's this and saying that. That was the first time I really saw it in that depth. I mean, they were just completely consumed. And I would say, this is eating you alive. This isn't worth doing this. And they just couldn't release it. And I think we're seeing manifestations in very similar ways. It's that same type of thing. Once you fall into that trap of feeling you're so righteous by calling out things. You're so righteous. That once you fall into that trap and then that thing is not there anymore. Wow, this is getting bad. That thing is not there anymore to take your vile and your bile, and it's not there to take your punishment. You gotta kind of look around and find something else. It's like Twitter, you know? People are on Twitter and they're used to just getting up and just spewing at people on Twitter. I mean, they gotta, if that person leaves that they're spewing at, they've gotta turn around and find somebody else to spew at. It's really not good. So I found this article on COVID, and it was about this guy saying that COVID is not going to be like the flu. COVID is like smoking, and there's an easy solution for people to save their health, which, of course, just like smoking. You can just stop smoking cigarettes, and people could save their health. Well, there's an easy solution with COVID. You could just get vaccinated. Oh, right, right. And, you know, this patient is just spouting all these statistics about how safe and effective the vaccines are. I'm just reading this, and I'm going, boy, you have drunk the Kool-Aid. But I hearken back to a conversation that I had with a friend a week ago. And we were talking about, and I think I've probably mentioned it on the podcast, this idea that whatever structures you build to put people into hierarchies and to help us cooperate with each other and to help us accomplish things, because it's amazing what we can accomplish when we get together, put our minds to stuff. And whatever structures you build for that, if you don't account for both the flesh and the spirit, if you don't account for the fact that we are capable of the most amazing things when we work together, that we are capable of such kindness and generosity, and yet at the same time we are capable of such horrible things, such abominations that we do to each other. If you don't keep both of those things in mind and build systems that account for those things, I'm going to try to get my mail here, that everything comes off the rails. One way or another, everything comes off the rails. And so you always, when you're building something, you have to have that balance. And I was talking to my buddy, and we were talking about different things, about this, that, and the other, and come on. My little window is having trouble getting rolled up. And he made the statement, well, you know, I'm a libertarian, so I, you know, less government is better. And I agree with that statement. That is true. But the difficulty is just being a pure libertarian doesn't account for the fact that people are crazy. They're just crazy. And if you don't account for that craziness, bad things are going to happen. I mean, the big example for me that really kicked me over on this was the fact that you look at the great deleveraging in 2007, 2008, and then you start reviewing the documentaries that have been made on it. The Big Short is an excellent film, very, very interesting. And you start realizing what these financial managers were actually doing, and the lies and the outright fraud and the stuff that was going on, and all they cared about was the short-term profits or the short-term sales commissions. And they were doing stuff that was setting up such horrific debt that they were, it was just going to trash the economy. And they didn't care. And people are running around buying, you know, 3, 4, 5 houses, getting these no interest loans with these balloon payments and thinking, oh, I can just buy this and then resell it because, you know, the prices are going up. They just keep going up. And just completely unreasonable because, look, I'm a homeowner now. I own like 4 homes. And the debt is just going to crush them when they hit those balloon payments. And yet people are just buying like crazy. People don't have jobs. People are... And when you see that type of behavior, you got to say, yeah, this is not good. It's not good. We can't just let people do whatever they want because it's just going to blow up. And I've been thinking about my friend saying, you know, well, I'm a libertarian and I would love to be a libertarian. I would think that's great, but I think the only time being a libertarian actually works is if it's within the context of a theocracy. Because in essence, that is the government that God established in Israel with the judges. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. It's basically a kind of anarchy. There's no ruling class, and when there's problems, then God just raises up a judge and he says, okay, go do this here, fight that battle, come here, done and done, great. Everybody goes back home and does what's right in their own eyes. But in order to make that work, of course, you have to have a foundation. You've got to have a moral code, moral imperatives. And you have to have a good one. A good one. And by a good one, I mean something that not only points out that people are evil, but it provides them a path to redemption. And it locates the source of evil within us, not without. And the difficulty is, I'm listening right now to a conversation that Jordan Peterson had with a journalist. I don't know his name. It's very interesting, very interesting. And they're talking about this fact that everybody believes something. You know, everybody is going to have something that they're going to use to order their lives, to tell them how to make good decisions, to tell them how to choose one thing over another, to tell them to put in context what type of person they are. They're going to have some system. And you can try to strip out all the religion out of people's lives. You can try that. But people will settle on other things. And the problem is they will settle on incomplete things. And they will settle on malformed things. They will settle on asymmetric things that are not useful in the long run because they create blind spots. Because their systems do not account for the fact that there is a flesh, there is an evil within us. And so when you get things like the metaverse and everybody's, oh, this is going to be great. Not everybody's saying that, but you know, you look at it and go, okay, in other words, you're going to isolate people more. You're going to take them away from human touch. You're going to take them away from interactions that they can't control. You're just going to put them in their own little bubble. Yeah, this is not going to go well because it doesn't recognize what is within mankind. And when you set up systems where your best pitch is, no, because you're white, you're evil, and there's nothing ever you can do to stop that. You're just evil. Okay, well, there's no redemption in that system. That system isn't going to work out well because it has to be a good system. And when you, it's pretty easy, honestly, it's pretty easy to simply take the whole set of influences within a given belief system, to take that and then run down and figure out whether it's flesh or spirit, and then to figure out what kind of results are going to come out of those systems. It's not hard. which is the reason I have never and will never post a black square on my Facebook. I've said this before, because it's us versus them. That will never work out well. And there's tons of other examples of that. And it's just not that hard to figure it out, because everybody is going to base their life on a system, but you really need to make sure that it's a good system and that it is well balanced between recognizing that there is evil in people and that there is this tremendous image of God and breath of God within us. And if we can get that thing balanced and then get together, it's amazing what we can accomplish together. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home.